Welcome to the Lotco Business Podcast, a show all about helping you as a retailer, brand, or creative understand the actual business side of running your business. I offer straightforward, practical advice about the nitty-gritty of making money from your creative passion. We will be covering bite-sized business and marketing lessons, as well as interviews with experts and trailblazers in the fashion, homewares, and design industries. My name is Melissa Robbins. I'm a business coach, colour-loving, non-coffee-drinking Melburnian. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to today's episode. I am super excited to have a guest joining me today, and that guest is Kelly Walker from Clipster. Kelly is a dynamo businesswoman from Sydney who has had an ongoing frustration that she decided to do something about. And we're going to dive into all the details about what that is shortly, but I just want to say hello and welcome to you, Kelly.
Hi, Mel. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited to get you on because I know this is your first podcast that you are going to tell a bit more of your story.
It is my first podcast, so be gentle.
I will, I promise. So let's just go back to what is Clipster. Tell me a little bit about how it got started.
So Clipster is a business that creates and manufactures innovative products that make everyday life easier. Mm-hmm. As I started having kids, and I have three of them, mm-hmm. I just kept seeing problems that could be solved, really easy problems that could be solved.
Yeah. Let's go back. One of the issues with, you've got three kids, they wear hats to school, and this was one of the first things that you saw as a problem, or probably not one of the first problems, but you're like, this is something I can do something about. And I know you've got two boys, and let's not be judgmental here or generalization, but seriously, boys lose their hats way more than the girls do. I don't know about
they do. Kids, they do. I have two.
Yeah, my daughter had the same hat all the way through primary school, whereas my son had about seven.
Exactly the same. So I also have a daughter who never lost a hat. But my boys were always losing hats, particularly my middle child. Mm-hmm. And it was a real frustration for him because he'd get into trouble at school, and also he's a really sporty kid, so he wasn't allowed to play on the playground without a hat. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it made him really sad. So, and I thought, this is a problem that I can solve. Not a difficult problem to solve, so I thought. And also once I actually saw how many hats were in the lost property every day of the week, I just thought, oh, my God, we can do better.
Yes. So you essentially started out with like, okay, what can we do about this? And then most people would just go, oh, yeah, that's annoying. I wish there was a better solution. But you actually went and now found an industrial designer, started working with a manufacturer. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the first thing I did was I started creating prototypes, and they were really dodgy. They were, mm-hmm. Carabiners. I went to Spotlight to get fabric. They were really, really dodgy. But I wanted to check that how it would work. It didn't have to look beautiful, but mm-hmm. I just needed to check. I wanted to create a solution. So after realizing that there really was a market for this, mm-hmm. Basically from talking to people and definitely from seeing the lost property, then I knew that this would sell. So that's when I engaged an industrial designer. And an industrial designer makes the product sellable. Yep. And also manufacturable. So, and that's when the fun really started.
Understanding how it could be manufactured and all that sort of stuff too. So it's
exactly.
Like that whole process of molds and all sorts of stuff that they needs to go into, the thought needs to go into.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
And you're made in Australia, which is a pretty unique, or it's a bit different. So how is that something you really wanted to make sure you tried to do?
That was really important to me, and everybody, even my industrial designer, thought we'd have to get this done in China or mm-hmm. at least offshore somewhere. But it was really, really important to me. And it did take me a long time. It took me, you know, a good 6 to 8 months of ringing manufacturers. And the problem with manufacturing in Australia is that it's very small, mm-hmm. and really they're interested in creating widgets. So, for example, defence might engage Australian manufacturers to make a widget, mm-hmm. Which doesn't have to look pretty, and they just want millions of them. Yeah. That's the sort of thing that Australian manufacturing is really good at, whereas I wanted a consumer product, a product that looks beautiful, which is a little different.
Yeah.
So that was hard to get someone to say yes, because I literally was turning up with a dodgy prototype and some drawings. But in the end I found one.
One of your skills is persistence, and that's what you needed to have, right?
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I definitely believe that no is not no forever. It's mm-hmm. just no for not now, or you know, I'm always about finding different ways to do
different
things.
Ways, yeah, to do things and solutions. And so now, I don't want to make. I put this in as a question. I'm like, I don't want to make you cry, because obviously I have made you cry before. When we first met, I made you cry at the Life and Style, mainly because it just got emotional, because it was like, you know, why have you started this? And one of the things that came up for you was about, obviously you want to show your kids that, you know, you can, what you can achieve, or that you can do things yourself, and that you wanted to, you know, showcase that what's possible.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and that really was about my why. And it's all right, I'm not going to cry.
Well, the reason I mentioned it there was that now you started this for school hats. Like, that was one of the first problems you're solving. But the reason I mentioned that was because I know that the feedback you've gotten since you started, and this is one of your first products, and we'll get onto what other products you have as well, but your hat clip has become more than a hat clip. So you know, you've gotten feedback now from all different types of people who are using it. So can you just tell a little bit about who's using it and how they're using it?
Yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. First of all, I thought it was just going to be for school kids, and then my girlfriend. So as soon as we started with the manufacturing prototypes, so they're kind of nicer than the bodgy spotlight prototypes. Then I would give them to my girlfriends to test with their kids' bags, but they would say, oh, no, I want this for myself. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so then we started – so then women started using it for everyday use, and then we got into some shops. And so we're in fashion shops. Farmers use them to keep their hats safe in their trucks. Mm-hmm. We've got all sorts of we've got vets that use them, doctors that use them to what they do is they put their clip on their belt and they put their stethoscopes in there, so their stethoscopes aren't sort of in the way when they're bending down over patients. What else have we got?
What about you've had some, you know, like someone reach out to you, I think it was in a wheelchair, or someone was...
Oh, absolutely. And this is really close to my heart, because since I launched Clipster, my mum has actually been diagnosed with motor neurone disease, so she is in a wheelchair now. So, you know, this helps her, and I've also had other people in wheelchairs contact me and in wheelchair sports. So, you know, people that are out and about but are...
So, yeah, obviously the and even you've mentioned before someone who contacted you that was used to lose their head a lot because they are vision impaired. And so...
Oh, my God, Mel, you've got such a good memory. Exactly. So we've had people in wheelchairs who just need to have things held handy, things, you know, perhaps they can't hold them themselves. And so they can clip things, they can clip clothing, hats, pieces of paper, whatever they need.
Drink bottles, I've seen people.
Drink bottles, exactly. Mm-hmm. Clipped right there and then. Exactly. We've had a blind woman contact us and tell us that it's been an absolute game changer for her, because she was always, she needs to wear a hat when she's out and about, but she would put it down and lose it. Whereas now she can take it off if she needs to. She's got a safe place to put it. She knows where she can find it when she needs it. Exactly. So, I mean, I just can't tell you how happy that makes me, because really this is all about solving problems. They're little problems, but you know, in life, it's often the little things that cause us to come unstuck. They determine whether you're having a good day or a bad day.
Yeah.
I'm
starting the day as you say, like with the kids with their school bags. I mean, starting the day knowing exactly where the hat is. Oh, that makes life so much easier when you're trying to get out the door, or you know, having that same argument every morning with someone.
Absolutely. And it's such a little thing, but it literally was, it probably happened 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. And we'd be going absolutely fine, just heading out the door. And then, oh my God, chaos. Exactly. We're checking the car, we're checking bedrooms, we're checking in his bag. Oh. Did he drop it somewhere? Did he, you know? So that was really good. And how I got into that is, you know, when I started having kids, I don't know why, I just kept looking at the little problems that would pop up, like losing hats. Mm-hmm. And I just kept imagining products. So and I'd go into places like Howard Storage, mm-hmm. and I would be fascinated because Howard Storage doesn't just make sort of laundry baskets and drawers. They have a section that's full of little innovative products, and it just lit me up. I loved the thought that there were people at home just like me coming up with ideas and being brave and getting them out there.
Getting them out there, yeah. I love it. Someone's got to. And I think that's the thing, like your product, there's nothing exactly like it on the market. So that is where it has that really unique, obviously selling point, because there's nothing exactly the same as it.
That's so true. And 3 years ago, there definitely wasn't. We're getting a few copycats now. But, so there were pros and cons to that, to be honest, because brilliant, there wasn't competition, so you know, we had the whole market to ourselves. But there was also the problem that nobody thought they needed anywhere to put their hat. When we started
I've heard people say at the trade show and stuff like that, well, you can just put it on your head or you carry it. It's like, yeah, of course, but then this makes life easier. Or, you know, when you're traveling, you can clip it onto your suitcase, or hiking, you can add all these different things to the edge, baggy bag and stuff like that.
Absolutely. You get it, but at the beginning, you know, they didn't. And when we first started our Facebook advertising, we'd often get people just saying, just put it on your head. That's how I don't lose my hat. But you know that you got to be brave and you got to be resilient. And I'm definitely learning. You know, definitely wasn't resilient at the beginning, but I'm getting better at just letting things, you know, just wash off me. It really doesn't matter.
Vaseline, just let it roll off you. No one can grab you.
You know, so I have to connect back to my why. You mentioned before about my why. When I connect those moments where I've got that imposter syndrome, or I'm doubting what I'm doing, I'm, you know, kind of believe them for a second that it is just a piece of rubbish. And then, you know, when I connect back to my why, what am I doing? I'm trying to help people. I'm trying to show my kids that you can do anything. If you be curious, be brave, be resilient, and the world's your oyster. You know, you really can. If I can do this, then I truly believe anyone can do it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing, though. You do have to take risks, and, you know, as business owners, you need to take risks, because you had to risk whether anyone wanted this product. You had to obviously invest in the first samples and prototypes and all that sort of stuff, and that is part of business. That is part of sometimes, you know, big risk, big reward. I think I did a post on it, you know, the other day on Instagram. It's like, you know, what if it fails? Well, yeah, but what if it doesn't, type of, you know.
Absolutely.
You just don't know until you give it a try. And obviously
exactly.
You know, follow rules, or you don't follow too many rules, which I quite like about the way you do business. You know, how do you go about your actual business setup? Because I know you want to keep your business quite lean in terms of who you have working with you or for you.
Absolutely. So I think it's really, really important to decide what your goal is, mm-hmm. what you want out of life, what you want out of your business, and then work from there. And that's different for everyone. I really decided that I want to have a lean business. To be mm-hmm. honest with you, how I kind of developed this theory was I listened to a podcast. It's one of my all-time favorites. Mm-hmm. So bang on about this. Yeah. It's called How I Built This.
Yes,
I know. And that one. Yeah. And it's just about like the really big businesses in the world that we all know, we've all heard about, we think we know their story, but it's the background to it. So it's talking to those founders and how they created their businesses. Yeah. And it's hard. You know, none of these had this straight trajectory.
Linear growth that's going on.
Yeah. It's unbelievable the things that they happened and that happened to them. And So I listened to a lot of stories. And one that really, really resonated with me was a product called Native, which was developed initially as a men's deodorant. And so they found
in her bed.
Does she? Yeah. Well, there you go. It is such a success story. It was started by a young guy, and he initially thought it was going to be a men's deodorant and put it out into the market. And discovered that the roller was ripping the hairs out of guys' underarm hair, you know, ripping the hairs out of their armpits. Big disaster. But what he did was he pivoted. So he pivoted, changed it to a women's deodorant, basically built the business very, very quickly, got it to a turnover of 30 million, sold it for 100 million. But one of the things that really resonated to me was he kept it lean. So at the time that he sold that business for 100 million, he had 8 staff.
Yep.
I talk to people all the time that are turning over $5 million and they've got 30 staff.
Yeah. And you're like, I don't want that. That's not what I want.
That is not what I want. That is managing a whole heap of people.
Yeah.
And maybe you've just sort of created a job for yourself. Everybody does it differently.
Knowing what you want and you obviously wanted flexibility as well within your lifestyle and be able to work from home.
Absolutely. I've got 3 kids. I'm well aware that this time is absolutely precious. Mm-hmm. My oldest is 15. Mm-hmm. So I've got a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and an 11-year-old. And yeah, I'm just really aware that this time is absolutely precious. And so I didn't want to miss any of that, but I also really wanted a business. Mm-hmm.
Setting it up in a way that suits you. And I think that's really important because people think they have to do certain things or like, you know, some people might go, oh, well, you should have an office by now or you should have this. And it's like, do the way you want to do it. Like I'm similar in that I don't want to have too big a staff and I love working from home and, you know, these sort of things. And I think that's where you've got to make the choices to run the business the way you want to.
Absolutely. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. There's your way. And it's also really good to remember that you're going to make mistakes. That doesn't mean that you made the wrong decision. Mm. One thing that I've learned is that most of my mistakes have huge silver linings.
Yeah, they've led to something else that's been a win sort of somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. They've made my products better or they've made my life better. Exactly. So that's another thing that has been a really big change in these last 3 years is that mm-hmm. I kind of embrace failure now. I was so terrified of making mistakes. And now I'm definitely not scared of them. Mm-hmm. I realize that that's okay. I just have to make it better.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that you've done, obviously you've evolved as you've gone on as well. And I'll just sort of go back a little bit. So we met, I think in 2 years ago. It seems like it must have been longer than that, but I think it was only 2 years ago. And you obviously were at the first trade show, Life in Style. That's where we met. And you were just you'd had a few wholesalers, but you were getting going on that. Tell me a little bit about, you know, where you've come from since then. So that was, 2019 or start of 2020.
2020. So I launched the business in April 2020. So we literally just turned 3, yes. which I get what you say, because in some ways it feels like it was yesterday and in other ways it feels like it was 20 years ago. So we went from literally packing boxes every night, my husband and I, till midnight. We did that for a year because even if we could have got a 3PL or someone to help us, it was COVID.
Yes, it was just
there was no way that was happening. So we did that for a year. And then luckily we were able to outsource the picking and packing, and then slowly.
Yes, and I remember when we spoke, you were just getting that sorted in, must have been April 2021 when we met, that that happened, because that was that show that it got pushed from the normal February to April.
So from then, you know, so, and we started just with a website, and then we started doing trade shows. And trade shows were absolutely fantastic. That's what got us into wholesale. And yeah, that was
And the growth really from there. So right now, what's your business setup look like? So in terms of, you sell online, direct to consumer.
So we sell through our website. We sell through shops. We sell through
Amazon in the US.
Amazon in the US. We also have distributors, and we also do corporate gifting, which is that actually, when we went to the New York Trade Show, what ended up, a big thing that came from that was that we now are a go-to contact for so many corporate gifters.
Amazing.
So that's really good. Going back to Amazon though, I'll just mention something. So I had never wanted to go onto Amazon. I was very much about building a brand, and I'll tell you what happened there is that we discovered we were getting some copycats, and so this was disaster. You know, I was so upset about it, and I would contact Amazon. We'd get the copycats taken down. 2 weeks later, they'd be back. And this happened a few times. And then I got some software that showed me how much everyone's making on Amazon.
Yeah, and how many sales they were getting. Like, what?
And I discovered that these absolutely rubbish copycats were making like $50,000 US a month. And I went, okay, I can't beat them. I'm going to have to join them. And, you know, so this is a real case to me of not wanting to do something, or, you know, disaster struck, we had a copycat. So we went on to Amazon.
You had all your legal trademarks and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I can talk you through if you want to, you know, the kind of steps to go through. But, that ended up being 40% of our business. We do, you know, $270,000 per month on US Amazon.
Yeah.
So that was an absolute gift. And now we're moving into Canada and Mexico. We'll be in the UK. So it actually, from a disaster, it was wonderful.
So where are you at now? Obviously, what was your first year in business? And, break it. Can you just give us a little rundown of where you're at now in terms of what your numbers look like, if you're open to sharing?
Sure. So the first year we did about 250,000. Then we did about 1.2. We're about to close our third year, and that's around 4 million. And our goal for next year is 10.
10. And let's just go back. It's a $24.95 product, right?
Yes. So, and it actually started off as a $19.95 product.
Yeah, didn't it?
And you, the amazing Mel, basically said, that's too cheap. And I was like, nobody's going to buy it for more than $19.95. And I was so
think it should be $29.95. But anyway.
I'll get there.
That was something we worked on, making sure your margin was there. And obviously all the costs associated. So, it did get to $24.95 after some pushing.
Yeah. So brilliant coaching from Mel. And, of course, I did it and nobody even blinked an eye.
Yeah.
And that was an increase of over 20%. Which is huge in terms of margins.
Yeah.
Another thing that I would say that really helped as well for anyone that does have a product that is, probably for any product really, but particularly for us with a product around $20, was to bundle.
Yes.
Bundles changed everything for us because it basically meant that our AOV, our average order value, increased.
Yeah, dramatically.
Yeah, really dramatically.
And this is the thing I always say to people about bundles, like putting that up on your website. Like, of course, people can buy 10 of your products. They can. But why not make it easier for them and just put it into one product and entice them with it and show the photos of it and, you know, make it exciting for them and actually make it one transaction for them.
Absolutely. And give it at a discount. Everybody loves a bargain. They may have gone there to buy. So in our case, they may have gone there to buy one hat clip.
Yeah.
But, you know, our most popular now is 4 hat clips.
Yeah.
You know, nobody went there going, I'm going to buy 4 clips today. But because there's a bundle, because it's at a really good price point, that's what they'll do. So it's better from
wholesalers about that as well.
No. So, I was nervous about that. Actually, that's another thing I was nervous about with Amazon. I was like, oh, if we're on Amazon, retailers aren't going to like it.
Yeah.
But I haven't had any of that.
I think the thing is as well, like I think, you know, you and I are probably similar that we do talk about this, but there's enough, I mean, it depends on your product, of course, but you would never probably have real thought that you would sell this many initially. And I know once you got going, you're like, yes, I can definitely do 10 million. I know that I can do that because you haven't reached, you know, the market yet at all, really, considering how many people are out there. But knowing that there's, like, each of those stores that you sell to have their own customer base. Amazon has a particular customer base. Every country has a different customer. You know, like, there's enough customers out there for everyone.
For everyone.
Yeah. It is one of those mindset things that you have to work through and have to work on. Same thing as, you know, changing your prices. You know, obviously one thing else – another thing you've just finally gotten through is that new packaging, because it was like, oh, do I change this? And you started getting a bit of feedback from stores, and obviously that's something that you were reluctant initially to change, right?
Well, absolutely. You know, so that's a real another lesson that I've learned is to listen to what people are saying. So how that happened was I was at a trade show, I think it was Sydney.
Yeah.
And somebody came up to me, a store owner, and she said, I absolutely love your product, but I wouldn't have it in my store. And I said, oh, why is that? And she said, oh, that packaging, that blue, no, wouldn't go in my store. And to be honest with you, I kind of brushed it off thinking, oh, well, I don't need your store and, you know, I like my product just the way it is. And then somebody else said it. And then at the end of the show, somebody else who had a product said to me, do you know what? I think your product's better than your packaging. I think your packaging's letting it down. And even though it took 3 times for people to tell me that same thing, I thought, yeah. And, so then I asked some people.
Yeah.
And I asked my customers. Obviously, I spoke to you about it. But I spoke to my biggest customers. So, you know, we're in some beautiful retail stores. You know, I pinch myself that we're in there. Yeah. And I spoke to them and they said, look, we love your product, but if it had, you know, classier packaging, then absolutely we would love it. Mm. And so it was the right thing to do. But that didn't come from me. That came from listening to people. So, you know, you kind of got to take ego out of business. Yeah.
You mentioned that you did a trade show in New York and I, you know, joined you there for that one, which was the New York Now show. So for you, getting into wholesale has been that sort of step. So doing trade shows, reaching out to people. Obviously, you do your own direct-to-consumer marketing, which helps bring you customers as well for retail and wholesale.
Yes. So really, if you've got a product business, it is all about getting eyeballs on your product. Mm-hmm. And so, we basically run Facebook ads and we do trade shows and we're in, retail stores. We've got distributors.
Yep. Where have you got distributors now?
So currently only New Zealand, but we are talking China, Korea, and the UK.
Let's just touch on that because I think that's something that scares a lot of people. They're like, oh, how does that work? And, you know, I'm going to be giving away – often you have to give away from your wholesale price, you know, 20 or 30%. And so some people are like, oh, you know, that's a lot of money to give away. But from my perspective and what we've talked about is, you know, you don't have to do anything. So essentially they take the product and they sell it to all of their contacts and all of their, you know, connections, and they do everything in terms of the delivery and everything, and you're just getting that one lump sum of money.
It's amazing. Yeah. So you're right. They do take more mm-hmm. Of the
margin.
They do have more of the margin. But, you know, say, for example, for New Zealand, mm-hmm. as soon as we got a distributor there and she actually contacted us, which was lovely, mm-hmm. she just, I think it was 10,000 the first order, 10,000 yeah. product. Mm-hmm. She organises all the shipping. So basically I just have to have it ready at the factory.
Yeah.
She organises all the shipping and it just instantly went into 50 stores and it's growing and growing and growing and I have to do nothing. So that's it.
If you might be there yourself and you can do that, whereas all these places that you're probably never going to, I think this is why we had that conversation about the New Zealand distributor, like I'm like, well, are you going to go there to trade shows? Are you going to, do you know the stores? Do you know the country? Do you know the region? No is most often the answer. And so they can just do so much for you that you don't have to do it yourself. So it can
absolutely.
Be a great option.
Yeah. And so we're definitely doing that in Asia. We're mm-hmm. already talking to people because there's language differences.
Yeah.
The same in Europe. Mm-hmm. You know, there are language differences.
With the tax and the
The euro. Yeah.
It's all confusing. And also just on that, going back to that price set up at the start, that's why that is so important too, because if you ever want to do this with distributors or wholesale, you need to have a good margin at the start. So really making sure that you've got room in your product costings and retail to allow yourself to do that.
Absolutely. That was a great help from you too, just to know what to include. That was really good.
Hello, lovely. If you're looking for a way to grow your product business without relying on Facebook ads or posting daily on social media, then I invite you to register for my free masterclass. This is happening very, very soon, and inside of this masterclass, I'm sharing the strategy behind building a profitable product-based business so you can attract consistent customers and scale to six figures and beyond. I also emphasize how to create a sustainable long-term business, which is such an important factor for me. I'm so excited to be teaching this masterclass soon, so make sure you go and register for your free spot by heading to the link in the show notes below. So let's talk a little bit now about what's next, because you've just released another new product. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, so the product that we've just launched is something called Specs, and it's a clip that holds your glasses. So as you can see, I wear glasses, mm-hmm. but I only need them for reading or being at the computer.
Yeah,
and as it turns out, I need to read all the time. So I was forever putting my glasses on and off, on and off. I'd leave them in the kitchen. I'd leave them on my desk. I was forever yelling out to my kids, somebody find me some glasses. And it just, you know, it drove me bonkers. And it can really make your day crappy really quickly. You know, you start mm-hmm. feeling really like, oh, what's wrong with me? I'm so disorganized. I'm getting dementia. So it was
again.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah, I know. So basically I wanted to create something where they were on me. And mm-hmm. so I didn't need to be searching for them all the time. And it has been an absolute game changer. It really has for me. And so then we tested those as well, and they were really, really well received.
They did take a while, though. Let's just go back. How long did they actually take for development, getting right?
So that's one thing about me, I will say, is that I'm not very quick. Just to put this in perspective, I was barely even on Facebook, 3 years ago. Yeah. I have no manufacturing background. I definitely wasn't on Instagram, never done sales.
Yeah.
So everything has been such a learning curve for me, which has been brilliant. I'm a really naturally curious person.
Yeah.
So that's really good. But, you know, I'm just learning. So it's baby steps. So I think I'm getting better at doing things, at bringing things to market.
Yeah.
It's also really nerve-wracking. Like you've got to be really brave.
Often quite new too. So that's why it does take that full development, because you've got to, you know, no one's done it before. So you've got to try and get it right. And I know that with the specs, you obviously had, it didn't, the magnets weren't strong enough, but then, you know, it's got to be a certain.
So this is manufacturing. Exactly. Yeah. So this is manufacturing. So we had tested specs. It was absolutely fantastic. Everybody that was testing it loved it. And in fact, I would even bump into some of my testers mm-hmm. on the street, friends of ours, and they would be wearing them, you know, and I'd be like, oh my God, they really are working. I'm so happy. We get to just about to launch mm-hmm. and we discover that the manufacturing process creates heat that basically was making the magnets weaker.
Yep.
So and there was
fall off.
Well, they weren't just falling off, but they certainly weren't what I was happy with. Mm-hmm. And this happened just before launch and mm-hmm. it was devastating. It was like, oh my God, we had packaging done. But of course I created a solution. I found a solution. And it's not perfect yet. We are about to make some big changes to mm-hmm. the product as well. But, you know, I just had to be brave and I just had to pivot and not freak out. Well, you can freak out for a day or two, but you just got to get on with it.
Like, oh my God, what's happening? But the whole thing is, yeah, that evolving. So it might not be perfect at the start, but you sort of continue to evolve as well.
Absolutely. So I currently have about 300,000 magnets that I was going to use mm-hmm. for the Specs product that now can't be used, that are sitting in my factory.
Maybe they can be for another product, Kelly. Maybe they're waiting for something else.
Don't you worry about that, Mel. But my point is that if you go and listen to how I built this, or you read books about people that have been really successful in business, they've all had things like this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's you'll work your way through it.
Yeah, working your way through it. And I think that's where, you know, we started working together early on because you were like, I don't know this area. I don't know how to get into the US. I don't know how to expand wholesale. And so that's where you've, you know, not just me, you've worked with other people, but you've gone, I need to learn some things. I'm going to, you know, go and listen to or talk to people who have been in the industry.
Absolutely. Be curious, put your ego away. And listen, really, really listen. Yeah, I think that's important. And don't be scared to ask questions, because so many people have done what you want to do, what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And there's never been a better time to do this kind of thing. Like, we've got podcasts and books. There's so much information available that just not knowing how to do it is not a problem. That's not a barrier to entry at all.
And surrounding yourself with other people, like, you're in my mastermind last year, and it was just like surrounding yourself with people and being in the same room as people who you can go, well, you know, this is what's happening with me, or this is the issues. All of that helps too when you're running the business by yourself, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Surround yourself with good people. One of the amazing things from your mastermind was that there was quite a selection. It's quite a quite a variety of people there. Yep. So there were product people, there were also retail people. Mm-hmm. So it was great if you had an issue, you know, to hear somebody else's opinion.
Yeah, learning from each other's sort of different perspectives, wasn't it?
Absolutely. So to hear from a retailer, I could put out a problem. Mm. And, there were a few
and the collaborations really good answers. And stuff, you know, come from that as well, which was exciting.
Exactly. So I didn't want to spend a lot of money creating a retail display for Specs. Mm-hmm. And then
Kristen?
Yeah. And then Kristen said to me, just do a strut card. And I was like, oh, what's a strut card? And she just explained to me what I would need to do so that, you know, the shops would find it easier to sell Specs. And I was like, yay. I mean, that could have taken me six months of, you know, what will I do? Da da da. And Kristen just says, just do this.
Yes.
Because she's a retailer, so she knows.
Yeah, 27 exactly years of retail. Yes.
27 years of retail. She is gonna know exactly what would help her sell that product.
Yep. I'm actually gonna get her on the podcast soon as well, which is exciting.
She's amazing. Amazing.
So one of the other things I wanted to touch on is manifestation, because I know that that is something that we are aligned with, and, you know, having that positive mindset and what it actually means. And some people, you know, think that it means, oh, just, you know, imagine the best case scenario and imagine that this is what you want to take place and then it will appear. Like, tell me a little bit how you use manifestation, or how you some experiences that you've had with it.
Yeah, so I think I've kind of always been interested in this sort of thing without even realizing it. I did psychology at uni, and I remember learning about what's called the locus of control. You've either got an internal or an external locus of control, which means that you're either believing that you have full control of your life, or you believe that life happens to you. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely been I'm going to control my life to you know, as much as I can. Yeah. You know, that if I want something, I've got to do it myself. No one's going to do it for me. So manifesting really is all about just being really clear in your vision. You know, what do you want in your business? What do you want your life to look like? Mm-hmm. And then mapping out your path. Mm. So how have others achieved what you want to, you know, and reading books, listening to podcasts and audio books, then aligning your behavior to those goals. And this makes it really easy for me to make decisions. So a lot of business mm-hmm. is about making decisions. Yeah. Oh, my God. Sometimes I think that's my whole life is making decisions. Knowing what my goal is makes it so much easier in business to make decisions, because I can just go, okay, does this bring me closer to the goal or does this not bring me closer to the goal? If it brings me closer, 100%, let's do it. Yeah. So that makes it really easier, much easier. Embracing failure, not being afraid of failure. Failure happens all the time and it's just a way of tweaking life, tweaking your products. And it's nothing to worry about. And also what's important is embracing gratitude. So you need to be grateful for what you have and remembering that life is all about the journey. You know, even when you get to your goal, maybe that's going to give you a few days of absolute elation.
Yes.
But the whole rest of your life is the journey, you know. Well, so we've got to try and enjoy it.
If you don't know if you listened to the other podcast I had about stopping to smell the roses, it's like making sure all the way along your business journey that you do take that time and go, oh, I'm so grateful that I can, you know, get to decide what I do today, what I work on first, or that I get to go to your kid's sporting event or whatever it might be, or like really stopping to go, oh, you know, I got this win. Let's celebrate this before you move on to the next part too, because there's always something to do, always something to focus on, and we're all busy, 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 but it's like, okay, just, you know, take that step back and, as you say, like look at where you're going, what you want to happen. And I think that's the thing with manifestation too. It's about, it helps with the goal setting, and by knowing where you want to go, then you can take actions towards that. So it's not just this magical theory of what's going on, but by knowing where you're going, you do take steps towards there. But yeah, as you
that's
say,
so like true.
Celebrating that along the way.
Yeah. And just talking about that, you know, determining where you want to go, I think a lot of people really know what they don't want to do. So they know, I don't want to work for someone else. I don't want to work long hours. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. It's really important to work out what you do want, and it's harder than you think.
Yeah.
But if you're really clear on what your goal is, then it kind of makes life a lot easier, and it makes all those decisions definitely a lot easier.
So just let's go back now, because I just want to make sure we cover everything that we were going to cover here. But what do you believe are key areas, you know, when it comes to business success in a product-based business?
Well, first of all, I think you need to be brave.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be curious. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Be curious. Who's already done it? Mm-hmm. You know, really be trying to learn as much as you can. And you've got to be resilient. So really just picking yourself up, knowing that, that you know, you can recover from most things. So in a product-based business, I'm all about solving problems. Mm-hmm. So how I, you know, the steps that I use is I identify a problem.
Yeah.
I develop prototypes. I test those prototypes. I make sure that they work. Is there a market for it? Like, who am I going to sell this to? Once I've decided on that, then getting an industrial designer to make it sellable, manufacturable, then you've got to find a manufacturer. And that's just getting on the phone and, you know, creating some documentation that you can send them.
You've also been good at, I think, just touch it and break into there. Sorry to interrupt you. You've also been good about asking other people too. Like you do talk to other business owners and you really network. So I think that's helped you, you know, not shortcut, but in some ways just go, well, you know, who have you used or how can you help me or can you guide me in this way too, and being open to that.
100%. And I'm happy with people, you know, I'm all about making it a win for everyone. Mm-hmm. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. And I would love there to be more female founded product businesses, because I think we're great at creating products. We're consumers. We know what's helpful. We know what we need. So I have contacted businesses and just ask for their advice, ask for, you know, in some cases contacts. And there have been a couple that have been really amazing. I'd love to do a shout out to Glass on the Grass, which is a small Australian business. They've been absolutely phenomenal when I was right at the very beginning. And also more recently, Orbit Key, who I have just sort of worked with at trade shows. I've met up with them at trade shows and they have just been so incredibly generous and supportive. And generally in the product world, I think that's what people are like.
Another thing with trade shows, like you do get to meet these people and, I mean, yeah, you just get to connect other business owners.
Absolutely. And you're all learning from each other. And you're getting great feedback from other product people, feedback from retailers. Yeah, it's invaluable.
So what's next for Clipster? How are you getting to your next goal, Kelly?
Well, in about 8 weeks, we are launching a new product, which I'm very excited about.
I'm not saying too much now, but yes, exciting.
Super, super exciting. I feel like I've done so much work on the back end and now we're, you know, it's like birthing a baby. Now it's finally getting out there. And what else are we doing? We're expanding more globally. So we're getting more distributors.
Those distributors, working with different regions.
Exactly, getting onto some other platforms. So there's a wholesaling platform called Fair. There's another one in Asia called PIBA. So, and all of that kind of takes work. It's not just, oh, I'll sign up for it. You actually have to have the stock. So for us, we've built up, you know, we currently, the factory makes about 40,000 Clipsters a month. That's the hack clips. Then on top of that, there's specs. Then we're going to build the same for this new product that we're about to launch. That's a lot of product. And you kind of have to have that all ready before you launch into different regions.
Yeah, because that's been one of the issues, not issues, but one of the things you've had to work through is that supply chain, making sure you've got the right amount of product for those places or the right componentry as well, because obviously you have different components for your product.
Exactly. So when you get to this scale, and we're not a huge business by any means, but we have a lot of moving product. Yeah. We had to get a small warehouse in San Diego because one of the problems that we had was that
fast enough. Yeah,
that's right. So, and particularly in COVID, we were, you know, the post was so slow, and even though we were often using couriers, it just wasn't fast enough. And I would say that that's probably what 90% of our complaints are about. If we get a complaint, it's normally about postage. So there's lots of things that we had to quickly put into place. And exactly. So then once product is made, you think, oh, that's easy. No. So some of it has to come to Sydney, some of it has to come to Melbourne, some of it has to come to San Diego, some of it has to go to Amazon, lots of it has to go to hundreds of shops. It's complicated.
But that's why as well, I think you doing that initially, like getting a 3PL at the earlier, I know it wasn't the first year, but early stages, to take that off your plate, because you doing that as well, even though it costs you money to do it, it also saves you so much money by having someone else manage that side of it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I firmly believe in outsourcing as much as you can. You know, it just wasn't practical for us to be packing boxes till midnight every night. It's not practical for us to be in the customer service mailbox answering questions, it really hinders growth. And we are growing dramatically, and that's exactly what I want us to do. So exactly, you have to outsource. Outsource your ads. Outsource, you know, it's so important when you first get a product out there, as I mentioned before, to get eyeballs on your product. For me, outsourcing Facebook ads and doing that stuff to the experts has been fantastic. And you know, they are expensive, but you've got a ROAS to look at, a return on ad spend. I've never had a return on ad spend lower than 2. So that means for every dollar that I spent, I'd get 2 back. And we get a ROAS up to 9, which means that for every dollar we spend, we get 9 back. Now, that's not all the time, but what I'm saying is that you can see very quickly whether or not the ad spend is working.
One of the things as well, though, which I know that we haven't touched on yet, but your website is, you did make sure, and that's one of the benefits of what your product being so unique as well, but you have a high converting website, and that obviously, and you made sure you bundled, so you got a higher average order value too, so that you're not sending money, you know, sending customers to the website that wasn't converting or didn't have a high average order value. So making sure those things are sort of at a good point initially is really important as well, though.
It's really critical. I guess if you're in e-commerce, then, you know, you're not paying rent like a shop would. There's lots of things you're not paying for, but one of the things that you do have to pay for is to really optimize your website, because it's everything. That's your shop front. So exactly, it needs to be quick. It needs to have great SEO. It needs to be organized well so that customers come in and find exactly what they're after. And that is an investment. None of that happens just by chance.
It needs to convert well, add to cart needs to be high, and they need to be able to navigate easily. And this is something that I know that in my programs I go on about a lot, because it's like, you don't just want to do Facebook ads if you're not converting your website. So get those things right, then bring more traffic there so that your website is actually converting higher.
Absolutely. And you know what? We're all a work in progress. Things will be working absolutely perfectly and then they're not. And that's okay, but that's just something else you need to fix.
I just want to point in as well, like, you haven't done all of these things perfectly from the start, and you're always evolving. Like, I know that your social media, you're just sort of you were doing all that yourself, and so you're just starting to hand that over now. Your email marketing, you were doing yourself, and you're starting to, you know, get someone else to help you the last year or so. So people don't have to have all these things perfect or every sort of element sorted to be successful.
Absolutely not. I mean, I did not know anything, and it's just one step at a time, which is hard for someone like me because I'm so impatient. I truly think I am the world's most impatient person, but I'm learning.
Kelly, this is the thing, you just like to go fast, you like to get things done.
Absolutely. There is so much going on in this head, you know, that it's life isn't fast enough, maybe I shouldn't say that. There's a lot going on in my head, and I want it all done yesterday.
Yes.
But I am learning, and, you know, that just take time and things will come. Yeah. Just enjoy the journey, know where I'm getting to, and just one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, keep moving forward. I love that. That's great. And so, Kelly, thank you so much for joining me and for sharing so much of your journey here. I think everyone will take away something from this, you know, podcast and hearing about what's going on with you. And I think we'll have to come on again in a couple of years and see where you're at and what your updates are, because I know you've got exciting things happening, exciting things going on. You're, you know, spreading globally, as we've talked about. And I think it's really exciting to see someone who, you know, as you said, didn't have that background, didn't have that experience, but is just trying to solve a problem and getting the product out there to people.
Yeah. Mel, it was an absolute pleasure. I'm always happy to help, and I'm very happy to come back and talk to you again.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening to the Lotco Business Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you subscribe to receive future episodes as they are released. And I'd be so, so grateful for a review on Apple Podcast. If you would like a copy of the show notes or any of the links mentioned today, please jump onto my website at thelotco.com.au/podcast. Have an amazing week, and I look forward to chatting to you again soon.